Summon your anticipation for an all-new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabby Collins. This season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. I sit down with Nicola Coughlan, Luke Newton, Shonda Rhimes, and more. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix, May 16th. Then, fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. New episodes drop starting May 2nd.
Inventing Anna, the official podcast, is a production of Shondaland Audio in partnership with iHeartRadio. Welcome to Inventing Anna, the official podcast, your exclusive look inside the making of the Shondaland series on Netflix. I'm your host, Stacey Wilson Hunt, and today on the show, I talk trauma, mantras, and feminism with Emmy winner Laverne Cox, who plays Casey Duke, Anna's personal trainer. Laverne digs into how she overcame initial skepticism of her character's unbridled positivity and how Casey Duke became not only her friend, but a continued inspiration. Oh, and she also sings for us. More on that a bit later. Hi, Laverne. It's so nice to have you on the podcast. How are you?
Good. It's nice to be interviewed again. I've been doing the interviewing a lot lately, so it's nice to be on the other end.
Yes, that's true. Now you know how hard this job is, right?
Oh, yes, I do.
And just generally speaking, how have you seen Inventing Anna received in your world? It's really created a lot of buzz, a lot of conversation. What's it felt like on your end?
It's felt magical, if I have to be honest. I think we were number one on Netflix for 2 weeks.
Yes, very, very much so.
Most viewed show in a week in Netflix history. That's incredible. I've gotten messages from people I haven't heard from in years who are watching and loving the show and loving my character. The best thing has been Casey's response. She sent me flowers after she saw the whole series and just has been so complimentary. She said, I killed it. One of her friends, apparently of 20 years, tweeted me saying that they've known Casey for 20 years and said, I nailed it. And so that has been the most gratifying part of this. I felt a lot of pressure playing a real life person and a lot of responsibility to have her be happy, to have her friends and people who love her see Casey in my portrayal is really the highest compliment. So yeah, everything else is kind of gravy, but it's just, it's beautiful that people are watching and I love the discussions that are coming up around it. People are just having a lot of fun with it too. There's memes and there's, you know, YouTube channels and think pieces. And it's just, it's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful that this show has started a cultural conversation or continued one or has gotten people thinking and talking in such interesting and diverse ways. It's very exciting.
I agree. And this show is special in the sense that there's enough levity where we can create memes and have fun with it. But then they're also at the heart of the story are serious conversation starters. And in terms of how you captured Casey, we had her on the show. She is really a fantastic human being.
Yes.
And I'd love to know, firstly, tell me your impressions of her when you first met, that pressure that you felt when you thought, okay, here's this person. I have to find a way to embody her, but also leave room for my own invention on screen. What did you first think of her when you met?
It was interesting because by the time I finally met Casey, I had watched hours of video of her. What's beautiful about YouTube is that there's this plethora of information on people. And she has been a trainer for 30 years. And there's workout videos of her on YouTube. I actually, oh my God, what was it called? I forget what it's called. She had a workout video that was only available on VHS. And I found it on Amazon and ordered it. And I had to find a VHS player. But I couldn't. So I got the VHS transferred to digital so I could watch the workout tape. And then she had been interviewed by the writer's room. So there was an hour long interview that I got, I watched. So I watched tons of video of Casey before I met her. And so I had ideas. And then I met her and she was so, so effervescent. You know, and Elle Wood says in The First Legally Blonde that, like, you know, she couldn't kill someone. People who work out have endorphins. They don't kill people. I was thinking that, like, you know, that Casey, because she works out all the time, she has all these endorphins. And so she was just so, like, energetic and positive and effervescent. She, like, is actually effervescent.
She really is. And there could be something to that endorphin theory because she's constantly high on life.
Yeah. And I mean, she's working out all the time.
Right.
And I met her in the lobby of her building. And then just her, the way she related to the door people. And she's just so kind to everyone. And then, you know, we worked out together. But then it was interesting. After we left the workout and we were going to lunch together, and everyone knew her. They're like, "Hi, Casey." We're walking down the street, and she's so friendly. And I'm very, like, I don't talk to strangers, you know, on the street. I'm very sort of protected and very sort of leave me alone. And I try, you know, I'm very boundaried. But Casey's just out and just happy, and people know her, and people were saying hi, like, everyone, "How you doing?" And she's like, "Hey." There's these relationships with just people, like, just as she's just walking to hail a taxi, and then the restaurant we went to, everyone knew her there and was so lovely. And so it was just interesting feeling like the effervescence of this woman who just has this positivity that, like, surrounds her and that she's obviously putting out, and, like, it was coming back to her. It's just interesting watching the positivity come back to her that she's obviously been putting out and earned. There are many fascinating things. I mean, and then we had a 4-hour lunch where she told me her life story.
What did you guys eat at this 4-hour lunch? Because she spoke about it too, and I wanted to know, what are you eating at this lunch? You know, she's very fitness conscious.
I think she had a salad, I think, and some fish. She had, like, fish and a salad. Okay. I had a protein because I'm not doing fish right now. I think I had, like, a steak or something. Okay. And then there was white wine.
Of course, obviously.
Because the people at the restaurant know, she knows the owners. They were very generous and they kept refilling. I think she needed, you know, some liquid courage to go where she went in our conversation. She was very, it was raw. It was very encompassing. Like, we started with her childhood. We started with her love of dance that, you know, turned into her love for fitness. We talked about her first marriage and moving to Europe. And when we went in, we talked about her mother, and we talked about, there are a lot of things that feel personal that I just will never feel comfortable sharing. But she, it was very, very intimate and very real. And I'm really grateful for that, because there were moments. She's been through some things. She's had a life. And as effervescent and as positive as she is, she's had a challenging life, and she's been through some things. And there were so many beautiful moments that she shared. It's just such an honor. I don't know why I'm getting emotional. It's just such an honor for someone to sit with you and share so much.
Well, to trust you with it, too, I think.
And to trust me with it. It just feels right. Very, there's something very sacred about it. And I'm really honored. I'm very honored that she trusted me and she shared all of that. And I used it in the work. It was invaluable. It was invaluable, that conversation.
How much of what you heard Casey share resonated with you and your experiences? You're someone I think a lot of us look to for wisdom and inspiration. You've been very open about your own struggles and feeling comfortable with yourself now at this stage of your life. How much of what she shared did you feel, gosh, I really understand that?
A very organic intersection is Casey's spirituality. Casey's understanding that there's an energy that's bigger than her. She talks about the universe. And so that, to me, that I feel that. I feel that I'm in the core of who I am. Casey's done a lot of work to be in a healed space. And I've done a lot of work to be in a healed space. I've done a lot of work to not be reactive, to find the lesson in something, to be of service. Casey's life is service, really. It really is. And so Casey, more so than me, I'm trying to be a little more selfish and a little more, because I've given so much sometimes that I haven't had anything left for myself. And I think Casey has been there too. I think that's part of how she ended up in this situation with Anna, that she gives, once she takes on a client, I don't want to say like her children, but sort of, you know, she's very, she wants people to win and she wants to be there and she wants to be of service. And I think she and I both have in common that we've been in situations where we want to be of service so badly and we allow people with not the best of intentions take advantage of that.
Right. And you do open yourself up to be sapped a little bit of your own strength because you're giving, absolutely, giving, giving. And absolutely, when she talked about her approach to training, it isn't just about losing weight or getting fit. She's targeting the whole person, the holistic experience.
It's about mindset, motivation, and movement. And the mindset is, you know, how you think about yourself. What is your relationship to your body? That changing, the reframing, you know, instead of I hate this about myself, this is the thing I want to work on, but I have to love this. And then motivation, what gets me out of bed every day to do it? And then finally, the movement. I'm sorry, I like spend a lot of time with Casey Starr.
We're taking a short break, but please stay tuned.
Summon your anticipation for an all-new season of our favorite Netflix series, Bridgerton. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabby Collins, and this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Colin Bridgerton has returned from his travels abroad. Is betrothal written in the stars for the eligible bachelor? And meanwhile, the ton is reverberating with speculation of who holds Lady Whistledown's pen. We're discussing it all. And I sit down with Nicola Coughlan, Luke Newton, Shonda Rhimes, and more to offer an exclusive peek behind the scenes of each episode of the new season. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix May 16th. Then fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. New episodes drop starting May 2nd.
Hey, thanks for sticking around. Now, back to the interview. It's interesting. There's a lot of overlap in how you approach acting and how she approaches training. It's not just this mental exercise. It's a full body investment.
Absolutely.
So tell me, when you invested your own body in becoming fit for this part, which you have said you've never had a role where you had to be physically fit because you're playing a trainer.
Yeah.
How were you using some of her approach to approach your own fitness, which was probably pretty rigorous, I'm guessing?
What was interesting for me about, I'm going to just be really real. I kind of got lucky. I got, I haven't talked about this publicly. I got sick at the end of 2018 and just started losing weight.
Oh.
And I just started losing weight. Like, I lost 15 pounds in a month and I was really ill.
Oh,
and
that's scary.
I was tested for everything, and we figured out what was going on, and I won't say publicly, but I got really sick and I just started losing weight. And the weird thing about losing weight is that for me, and probably for a lot of women and some men as well, is that, like, I'm sick and I'm losing weight and I don't have no idea why, and I'm not really doing anything. And I also was loving losing weight because clothes were fitting better. And I mean, 2019 was the first year I was able to wear samples to the Emmys, for example. We still had to alter the samples. I didn't get that skinny. I mean,
sure.
Skinny for me. But so when I started working on Casey, I was getting better, but I lost all this weight. And so when I trained with Casey, it was really about toning. So I took some of Casey's exercises. Casey's about, you know, muscle fiber targeting, you know, and toning and lengthening and elongating, having sinuous muscles. You know, I watched her workout videos, obviously, trained with her. So I was going to work out in the gym here, and then I was going back and forth. And then when I was traveling a lot, it became easier to just have weights. So I started traveling with weights in my luggage. I had 5 and 10 pound weights.
That's probably pretty heavy, no?
Yes. I wasn't carrying the luggage. We have drivers carrying the luggage, or people at the airport, they're like, what do you have in here? And we're like, weights. And I'm like, So I started traveling with 5 and 10 pound weights. And so I would wake up and do a little cardio. And then I really went in on weights and, like, a lot of stomach stuff, a lot of stretching. I was really obsessed with, like, abs. Like, Casey's abs are, like, insane. So, and then it became part of the character. I just remember being in Morocco and, like, waking up and doing weights. And it just felt like Casey. Like, this is what Casey would do, you know? Like, it felt very... I've never, like, worked out that much, you know, like, just...
Really?
Like, except when I was dancing back in the day, when I was dancing 6 hours a day. But as an adult, I've never consistently woken up and done weights, and at lunch, doing weights, and at night before bed, like, doing weights. Like, it was that kind of thing. So I don't think it was about, it wasn't about how I looked. It really, I think it was just about that kind of, because I went to a sports psychologist as well, because there was a part of me, it's very important for actors not to judge our characters. So it was a part of me that was a little bit in judgment of like Casey's positivity and her effervescence, right?
Right. I was going to ask you about that. How did you get over that skepticism initially?
I remember something Casey said to me. She did fitness competitions when she was younger. And I just started to think of her. I mean, she's, you know, 66 years old now, and in impeccable shape. And I was like, oh, she's an elite athlete. This is a woman who's an elite athlete, and elite athletes have a different mindset. I found a sports psychologist. I got a recommendation from my therapist and found this sports psychologist. We did like 3 sessions. And I really just kind of wanted to get a sense of like how elite athletes think and what their process is like. And that really got me over the hump. I was just like, this woman is she's an athlete. You have to have a mindset that is positive, that is affirming, that motivates you. There's really no time to like spend too much time in negativity or cynicism, or because I'm kind of cynical. There's no time for that really when you're training, when you have to make physical goals, and right, you either stick the landing or you don't. Either you make the basket or you whatever the sport is, you know, you hit the ace or you don't in tennis. That sports psychology piece really helped me just like go in and just be like, this is what it is, without judgment.
I love that. And yeah. And I also just want to say, I'm glad you're better. Even though it's fun to lose weight and wear smaller size clothing, health is number one. So, yeah.
And what was deep too is that people were like, girl, you're losing weight. You look sickening. You look snatched online. And I was just like, wow. And I didn't say anything at the time. And it was just really interesting how we celebrate people being sick. I mean, we don't know. We just celebrate weight loss, and we don't know what people are going through when they're losing weight.
I know. I think about this a lot, and I always try to compliment people. If I sense that they look thinner, I'll say, you look very fit, or you look healthy. I really try to stay away from those quote-unquote compliments, because we don't know what's going on with someone. So thank you for sharing your story.
Yeah.
I'd like to talk about Casey's dynamic with Anna, which obviously is so complex and transactional in nature, we come to see throughout the show. How much of that aspect of their relationship do you think blinded Casey to Anna and her real intentions?
Obviously, the first deposit, the check cleared. She bought a package of workout sessions. So that cleared. So she was like, okay, well, I got my money, you know, for that first session. That was the only money she got. And right. So there was that piece. And then she just saw this spoiled girl who she assumed was an heiress, but she had this great idea. What Casey said to me is that, you know, she didn't want to just be an Instagram model, that she wanted to build a business. And so let's like help her, because it's the workout piece, but it's also mindset, motivation, movement, and it's all connected for Casey. For Casey, it's like, this is my job. So I've been asked to go to Morocco to train people. It is not unusual for Casey to be flown places to train folks. She told me this wonderful story about when, I think it was the year, I think, that Denzel Washington won the Oscar for Training Day, because, you know, she trained Denzel in many movies. They had flown her out to Los Angeles and put her up at the Sunset Tower. And she said she had 5 Oscar nominees that year. She had Denzel, Julianne Moore, Diane Lane.
Oh, my God.
And somebody else, I forget. So they put her up at the Sunset Tower when she was training people. So this is her life, you know, her traveling
right.
to train clients is not, none of this is unusual. So I think for Casey, she wanted to be of service. Once she takes on someone, she wants the best for you. She like genuinely wants that. And she really wanted that for Anna. And I think the moment when Anna ends up, you know, sleeping over at her apartment that night, she couldn't possibly let that girl go. What if she harmed herself? It's very intense, and like obviously people like Anna manipulate people and play on their feelings and find their weakness, and Casey's weakness is that she wants to help people. She wants to be of service. So,
right, which can be a wonderful quality, but it really does open you up to potential harm.
Yeah. But what is beautiful we see in this series that Casey was able to set boundaries. Casey was able to be like, okay, wait, no.
Yes.
Okay, yes. I'm done. It gets to a point, Casey and I have this in common too, it can get to a point where I'm like, okay, no, we're setting some boundaries here.
Right. There's this great scene in episode 2, which of course we're jumping back and forth in the time continuum. And this is when Casey is telling Neff about setting her own boundaries when Anna is in prison. And she's saying, you know, the person who's sitting at Rikers is not the person we thought we knew.
Mm-hmm. Anna Delvey doesn't exist. That person in Rikers is somebody else, somebody who was pretending to be Anna Delvey.
And it seems like even though we haven't seen the full trajectory of Casey's story yet, we sense early on, oh, this woman is kind of having to teach the younger women to not be so trusting. Tell me about that interplay between Casey and Neff in that scene.
It was such a juicy scene for me. That person sitting in the cell may be a made-up character. It was just so... It was such good writing, and I just remember prepping the scene with my coach and just having a lot of fun, and we tried it a lot of different ways, and Tom was so amazing in directing that scene. I love being directed by actors. He just gave me such fun things to play with and try. I have no idea which take they use. This is the fun of doing multiple takes. It's like not in my hands anymore. It's just like it's in the director's and the editor's hands. So it was just, I had fun preparing. I had fun on set with it. And I think it may have been Alexis and I think it was our first scene together. She's just so amazing. What an amazingly talented young woman.
She is.
Oh, what a joy it was just doing scenes with her. And just, I love talent. I really, really, really love talent. I love young talent. You know, young talent that is fresh, but cultivated. She has a skill set. So it's not raw talent. It is cultivated talent.
She also has an amazing wisdom and groundedness. Speaking to her, I felt like I was speaking to a seasoned, you know, 30, 40-year professional.
You do feel that when you talk to her behind the scenes. And I believe she played violin as a child. I don't know if she told you
this. Yeah, she's a musician. I mean, you can really tell she's a full-fledged artist.
But the discipline of studying anything classically is so useful. That discipline will serve you. And it served her really well. She was so professional on set. And she apparently has perfect pitch, which I'm so jealous of. She said she had perfect pitch. And I was like, and I sang a note because I have decent relative pitch. Like I can usually pull an F out of my. Yeah, it was an F. I just said,
for the record, everyone.
I'm like, okay, F. I think I have an F in my head. So I sang an F for her, and I was like, what note is this? It was brilliant. She was like, it's fluctuating between an F and an F sharp with a vibrato. And I was like, work. I'm sorry. I'm a world-class nerd. And like, so many ways.
Well, you know, you may become the Casey of acting coaching for the younger generation. So keep working on that. I see this as the next phase of your career.
I'm obsessed with the craft part of it. I'm obsessed with the process part of it. So
I'd love to talk about episode 6, the Morocco episode, which is Casey's episode and her crazy experience on the quote unquote vacation that turned out to not be a vacation. There's a great scene when Casey and Noah are talking, and Casey's saying, oh, you'll have a great experience. The universe provides what you're meant to have.
Huh. And what are you meant to have?
3 pounds off Anna. A vacation, I hope.
And do you think she was enjoying for the first time in her life this idea like, I'm just going to be carefree and feel young for a weekend, not be so tied down with rigor and discipline and just sort of have fun?
Casey has fun. No. The Casey, of my understanding, and you spoke to her, the Casey of my understanding is a woman who has fun. The Casey of my understanding is a woman who enjoys life. So this is a job. Morocco, wonderful. La Mamounia, wow, gorgeous.
Right.
But this is a job for her.
And she definitely looks at it as a job, and that's maybe the dissonance she feels where she's starting to feel, what is my role here? You know, she's done some work with Anna, and she's starting to question, what is my interaction with this person? And maybe that's where it starts to unravel for her.
I think, too, she's just trying to make the most of it. I think Casey is like, this is awkward AF a lot. Let's just make the most of it. I'm here. You know, it's like she's peacemaker. She's like, let's just chill and have fun. That this situation couldn't be made right, obviously.
Right. It became a bit untenable for her to even fix, right?
Yeah.
Okay, everybody, we'll be right back right after these messages.
summon your anticipation for an all-new season of our favorite Netflix series, Bridgerton. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabby Collins, and this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Colin Bridgerton has returned from his travels abroad. Is betrothal written in the stars for the eligible bachelor? And meanwhile, the ton is reverberating with speculation of who holds Lady Whistledown's pen. We're discussing it all. And I sit down with Nicola Coughlan, Luke Newton, Shonda Rhimes, and more to offer an exclusive peek behind the scenes of each episode of the new season. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix May 16th. Then fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. New episodes drop starting May 2nd.
Hey, Stacey here again. Back to the interview. And one of my other favorite moments for Casey is in the finale, episode 9, called Dangerously Close, where Casey confronts Rachel at the courthouse about the fact that she concealed her involvement in Anna's ultimate arrest.
I felt used by the police, by the prosecutor.
I feel used by you, thinking you're some kind of victim in all this, taking care of you.
I am a victim in all of this.
At least you'll get to cry into all that money. Looks like you'll have plenty left over even after you pay Amex the $60,000 you owe.
Tell me where you think Casey is in that moment and how hurt she feels. Even though she understands Anna has done some bad things, she still almost feels like Rachel has been the bigger person to hurt in that moment, right?
Anna was a job. When Rachel was betrayed by Anna, taken advantage of by Anna, she became a friend to Casey, and she became this girl that she needed to be there for and needed to nurture through this deeply traumatizing moment in her life. And she was lying to me the whole time. She was lying to me about turning in Anna. She was lying to me about a book deal. Like, it's just, who are you? Like, I don't know who you are. So you've been this, like, victim to my face, crying to me, distraught. Meanwhile, you're working with the police. You're turning in your friend. You are signing, you know, six-figure deals to sell your story. The credit card companies paid you off. You haven't told me any of this. Like, it's like we're supposed to be friends. I have extended myself to you and taken your side in this and brought in one of my clients to try to do this intervention for you. And you've been lying to me. It's a betrayal that is just like, it's the whole mess of it. I've been lied to by Anna. I've been taken advantage of by Anna. We paid for an airline ticket, not first class. She owes me for fitness sessions. Like, I haven't got any of that money back, right? I'm trying to be zen about that. I'm trying to be there for this girl. And she's lying to me too. Everybody, it's like, it's just too much. Casey had her name taken off the story. She's like, I don't want to be associated with this. This is bad for business. Right. This is bad karma. This is bad energy.
These girls are toxic. All of them. I want out of this narrative.
What do you mean?
I don't want to be in your article.
What?
This ain't me. I don't want my clients seeing me in this negative context. I'm out.
Like, I need to distance myself from this. And then Rachel sucks her back in. And I'm going to court? Can you imagine?
No.
I'm taking time out of my life to go from Hudson Yards all the way down to the courthouse, you know, at City Hall, to support you, to be there for you. You can't tell me any of this? It's the shock of it. It's the betrayal of it. It's just the how dare you of it. She's felt she was made a fool out of.
And I think she could have maybe understand Rachel was distraught. And if Rachel had just had the courtesy to share with this person who'd been a mentor and a friend to her, hey, just so you know, this is an opportunity I have. don't judge me, but this is what I need for myself. I think it's the lack of honesty that feels so hurtful.
And it's in that Casey put herself on the line. Like when she confronts Neff about the Instagram page, you know, at her job and, you know, making this case more public.
Anna could go to prison for 15 years and you worried about Becky's 15 minutes of shame?
Stop calling me Becky.
Okay, Karen.
When are you gonna wake the fuck up and realize you're Satan's secretary at her beck and call 24/7?
Damn straight.
She's like going to somebody's job and confronting them to defend Rachel, to try to protect Rachel. And it's just like, it's embarrassing. It's like, Casey's really like, going above and beyond to be there for Rachel. And Rachel is like, girl.
Yeah. And what's too bad, too, is as a woman watching this, I felt, gosh, it's unfortunate when women try to help each other and build each other up, and then they still can get hurt, right? Yeah. So there's this idea that just because people are women doesn't mean that we're always going to have each other's backs, that we always have to be watching out for ourselves. And just because someone's the same gender as you doesn't mean that there's a built-in trust or...
I think that's good. That goes for race. I think that goes for so many things. But, I think the actor in me, the empathetic part of me is that hurt people.
Very true.
Just because someone is trans, you know, I can love them, but I can set some boundaries and I can love them from a distance. And I think, you know, we want solidarity as women, but I think that we also have to acknowledge that womanhood is that class shifts our womanhood. There's no one universal woman experience. Class, race, sex assigned at birth, all of these things. So we can have solidarity around issues and acknowledge our differences, right? Like I'm pro-choice and I've done a lot of advocacy for reproductive rights, right? I'm obviously can't get pregnant and it's just part of my values, you know? And I believe that part of being a feminist is like, people who can get pregnant, women need to have control over their bodies. And what I think you're talking about is how sometimes women tear each other down, how patriarchy sets it up so that we are fighting each other. It's the divide and conquer thing. And I think when we can understand that divide and conquer strategies are a tool of patriarchy, a tool of domination culture, then we can be in solidarity. But we can only be in solidarity in truth, right? We can only be in solidarity when we can hold ourselves accountable. When I have done something that's not the coolest thing to a friend of mine, male, female, whatever gender, I have to be accountable.
Right. And then final question, how would you say that playing this character, playing Casey, has changed you? And what have you taken from her that you now use, or you hear maybe mantras that you learn from her? And how has she affected you?
I mean, there's so many things. There's so many Caseyisms. My favorite, though, the past is our teacher, the present is our creation, and the future is our inspiration. So in this present moment, we can create whatever we want. Right. So it encourages us to be present. The past is our teacher. Learn from that. Learn from the past, but like, don't get too caught up in it. Don't get stuck there, because in this present moment in our creation, we can heal. We can create healing. We can create a new future inspired by the future, inspired by the vision that we're manifesting in our lives. That is just wisdom. That is really, really good shit. That's a life lesson. And I think, too, Casey is a trailblazer. Casey Duke is a trailblazer in the fitness business. She was doing this in the 80s, and there weren't, I would think of Richard Simmons and Jane Fonda, you know. But Casey Duke was on TV in the 80s, too.
I know. I actually feel remiss that I didn't know her name before this story.
Yeah.
Like, we should know her name,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. She had a workout class that was the most popular in New York in the 80s that Madonna went to. Obviously, workout videos in the 90s. She designed the Diet Coke hunk, Lucky Vanosis. He had two workout videos that Casey actually devised the workouts for. She's in the workout videos with him. She's the co-founder of Equinox. Equinox.
I did not know that.
This multi-million-dollar company that she co-founded, the first three Equinox gyms in New York City, Casey Duke opened. She hired the staff. She helped design the space. She did not participate when that company sold for over $100 million. These are the things, too, that I think we should reflect on, you know, thinking of Hidden Figures, thinking of, like, so many women, but specifically Black women, who have been trailblazers and are unsung and have not gotten the financial recognition, have not gotten the shine that they deserve. It really is my hope that with this show that people will understand that Casey Duke is not only a bad bitch, but she's a legend, a living legend in the fitness business. She needs her flowers. She needs her money. She needs all the things. And I took a lot of things away from her story, her strength, her optimism, her wisdom. But I also took away the resilience and the perseverance when she's not always been treated well. And treated well, i.e. money, recognition, and fame. Not that it's all about fame, right? But it is about money and it is about recognition, right? When you've contributed to something and helped build something and you don't get to share in the profits of that, I think that's a problem. This is an American story. You know, this is, you know, many people have experienced that.
As you're talking, I'm kind of feeling like a Casey Duke biopic is, you know, next up.
Oh, so honey.
Maybe you can lobby for that.
If you sit down with Casey and she tells you the real of what she's been through, it was my hope to infuse as much of that bio that, like, the world doesn't know about that she's so generously shared with me. I tried to infuse that into every moment of playing Casey, that this is a woman who stands before you enlightened and resilient and powerful and strong because she has endured some tough, and she is better for it. And that is the beautiful thing about playing real people and getting to hear real people's stories, that everybody's been through some stuff, and how we get over, how we manage to persevere is the stuff that we all need to hear. Those are the stories that we need to hear.
That is so true. And I have to say, you both are role models to everyone listening. So thank you for your hard work. And thank you to Casey again for sharing her story with you and thus with us.
Amen. Amen. Casey Duke. Thank you, Casey Duke.
Well, thank you for your time, Laverne. And congratulations again that your work is stunning as usual.
I appreciate that.
Now that we've heard from the actor who plays her, it's time to meet the queen of mantras herself, Casey Duke. Tune in next week.
Don't play it safe. Jump and let the net appear. Mm. Really go for your dreams. Even if you fail, you'll learn something from that failure. Think big, dream big. And that's what I really saw in Anna. She was dreaming big.
If you're enjoying this show, subscribe, share with your friends, rate, and leave us a review. All of that good stuff. And if you haven't finished Shondaland's Inventing Anna on Netflix, please go do that. We really don't want to spoil it for you. Inventing Anna, the official podcast, is executive produced by Sandy Bailey, Lauren Homan, Tyler Klang, and Gabrielle Collins. Our producer and editor is Nicholas Harder, and the show is produced and hosted by me, Stacey Wilson-Hunt. Inventing Anna, the official podcast, is a production of Shondaland Audio in partnership with iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from Shondaland Audio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.